Thank you. I will drink until next morning.
Number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio 105.7 FM 1340 AM. As always, the podcast will be uploaded moments after the show goes off the air. Today, as always, the Periscope live video feed right now is up right now on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. And of course, you can check out the Fan Run Radio app, which is free to download, and fanrunradio.com as a fantastic way to stay up to date on all things going on with Tennessee. And hey, I'll tell you what, man. If you are enjoying the Coach Doug's era, that kind of is Tennessee football right now, right? Because we will all remember this small little era in the middle of quarantine, in the middle of no sports, the Doug's era. Go to fanrunradio.com because that's going to be your best place to really find some fun content going on with Coach Doug's. We've been posting post-game reviews, season previews, all this kind of fun stuff going on with Coach Doug. So if you want to stay up to date on that, and if you want to have a little bit of fun with the station and with the University of Tennessee and all that going on, then be sure to check that out. Speaking of the University of Tennessee and speaking of coaches, well, let me ask this first. Brandon, we talked about that CBS Sports coaches ranking. It was just coaching ranking a couple days ago, right?
Yeah, the Power Five coaches.
Now, imagining that that Coach Doug's did not make the list.
No.
Travesty. But Pruitt did.
Yes.
Which is maybe the more important one in the long term, right? And he was ranked, I think he was, what, 37?
30.
Or was he 38?
I think he was 38. And then.
Are we on? Yeah. And number 39 was?
Schiano. Yeah.
Greg Schiano. So that certainly gave us a little bit of something to talk about a couple days ago. But essentially, what that article was whatever the highest number was to only 26. They had not released 1 through 25 yet of the best football coaches in college football right now.
That is correct.
But now they have.
They have your top 25.
Here we go.
Power Five coaches. Do you want all 25?
I don't know.
Matt Campbell, Iowa State, 25.
Okay.
Mario Cristobal at Oregon.
You know what? I do want all 25 now that I'm thinking about it. Just to know who's there.
This one I kind of disagree with, although he did do a good job last year.
I agree.
23, Bronco Mendenhall. I think he's a little high. A little high.
All right, I'm going to have a lot of trouble with some of these names on this list, because I'll be honest, right? Like, I see where they, obviously there's nobody I know more about than Jeremy Pruitt on this whole list. And I know where they put him. And so some of these other ones, like I'm thinking of myself.
I mean, I don't
like,
know. He's coming off an Orange Bowl. He won the division last year and he's at Virginia. So, I mean,
sure.
If you look at the state of Virginia when he took over, it's clear that I think he's a top 25 coach.
Yeah. I mean, he was 2-10 his first year at Virginia, and then went 9-5 last year. Like I said, won the division and went to the Orange Bowl.
Right.
Number 22, Mark Stoops. I think he's another one, though. I think he's another one that you can make that same argument that you're
that
making
he, that he took so, he took nothing into something.
Yeah, I mean, and don't take this as me standing for Mark Stoops, because I'm not.
Okay.
But, I mean, you look at where they were when he took over. Kentucky's won 18 games over the last two seasons. First time that's happened since 76-77. And This article says that he will be the winningest coach in program history by the end of the 2021 season, passing Bear Bryant.
I'm not a big Stoops guy at all. I don't think he's a very good coach. I think he's a good developer of players, and he's brought some good talent in. But when it comes to in-game coaching, I don't think he's very good.
He doesn't make good decisions.
Like the A&M game 2 years ago when they were undefeated and they lost, Benny Snell was averaging like 7 yards a carry, and they gave it to him 11 times that game. Just stuff like that. There's just stuff he does in games and with time management, to me, that makes him just not a good coach to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to give him credit for the job he's done at Kentucky. I'm not the biggest fan of him either. But I do think you got to give him just, I mean, yeah, I got to give him a little bit of credit.
What job was he linked to recently?
Florida State.
Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Let's see. 21, Pat Fitzgerald.
Don't agree with that at all.
Northwestern?
Yeah.
He's starting to fizzle out. They've been terrible lately.
Yeah, they were 3-9 last year. How do you get somebody that goes 3-9 in the top 25?
I don't know, man. And
I mean, Northwestern, has Northwestern ever been? Oh, Northwestern.
Their best season is when they got smoked by Butch Jones in the Outback Bowl. He's just a less talkative, like, Butch Jones to me.
Northwestern would be a good job for Butch Jones. Like, if Pat Fitzgerald gets fired in a year or two, I could see Butch Jones going to Northwestern.
We talked about the Buffalo Sabres a couple days ago as just one of the most irrelevant sports teams in the country. Throw Northwestern in there, too. Like, whoever talks about Northwestern, what's worth remembering about Northwestern?
Michael Wilbon?
They got a good journalism school.
Sports. I despise Northwestern.
Sports.
Number 20, Mac Brown, UNC.
All right. Well, hey, I guess. What did they finish last year?
It doesn't have their record.
I think they won 5 games.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, 7-6.
Oh, all right. So
7-6 after they went 2-9.
Mac Brown didn't have a bad year as his first year back. That was actually pretty solid for that team.
Yeah, no, but I mean, they went 7-6 to 2-9, and look at where he's got him recruiting right now.
And they almost beat Clemson, and maybe should have.
I'm not going to doubt that, because I'll be honest, I was wrong about Mac Brown in my initial take when he was initially going back to North Carolina, or not going back, but just going to North Carolina. I didn't think it was going to work out. But
no, you were right.
He went back.
Okay.
That was his first job.
But here's the thing about it, right? Is you have a guy like Mac Brown going 7-6, and I got to imagine they're giving him a lot of credit for where North Carolina is in the recruiting rankings right now, right? Number 3, I believe. Jeremy Pruitt doesn't get any of that? None of it? I mean, it's so much that it can bring Mac Brown into the top 20 conversation.
Well, hold on.
But for Pruitt, we're barely inside the top 40?
Hold on. I'm talking about a guy that's won a national championship.
I know, but it's been a long time. And I know that doesn't mean that he has the capabilities, but we're talking about a new team, a new conference, a new system, a new group of recruits, a new decade, hell. And yeah, I feel like, man, that's a lot of – and again, like, I don't want to come off and as I'm not trying to give Mac Brown the credit he should be deserving of right now, but there are just discrepancies that I see that I'm like, what the – that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense to me why Mac Brown is some 20-something spots above Pruitt. Except if you're really just going to go full into the, you know, well, look at his whole career. Well, then, is that really the conversation we're talking about? Are we ranking the top 25 coaches in their experience over their career, or what they're doing with their programs right now?
I think it's different for each person that voted on this.
And I know, and that's what they said at the beginning of the article. There wasn't any way to do it. They just all did it. But I just think that's a little criminal. I think it's a little criminal to have Mac Brown that many places above Pruitt. I think that they should both really be closer to the middle of where they both are.
Number 19, David Shaw. Surprised to see him that low, although they were not very good last year.
Okay. I'm surprised to see him still that high after they've struggled in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, he's fell off a little bit. Go ahead, Chance.
You go from winning 10 games each season, so, like, the expectations are there. I think the last 3 seasons they haven't won 10 games, though, right? He was, like, on a streak of 10 games every season.
Right.
They've gone 22-17 in those the last 3 years. He was one of those guys that always got talked about as making the jump to the NFL. And I feel like that's I feel like that window of opportunity has passed.
They had talked about him to Indianapolis, right? To reunite with Luck at one point. Or am I...
I remember that.
Am I maybe projecting someone else? But I don't think I was. I felt like during the... Maybe it wasn't even like a legitimate, you know, a legitimate option. But I remember it was talked about as, hey, just get Andrew Luck's old quarterback or head coach, whatever.
Well, I mean, it's got to be terrible to coach at Stanford. There was three starting defensive linemen from the year before had to transfer because they didn't get into grad school. Like, they graduated and they had to grad transfer because Stanford didn't accept them into grad school.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's just – it is what it is with those schools.
Yeah.
Stanford, Vanderbilt, Northwestern, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest. Just – it's just part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean – you know that going into that job. But, yeah, I mean, I guess Harbaugh kind of had him at their peak. Shaw kept it rolling for a little bit, but looks like starting to tail off. 18, Gus Malzahn.
Okay. Yeah.
He's up six spots from last year. 17, Paul Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big Paul Chris guy.
Gary Patterson at 16. PJ Fleck.
That's criminal. Gary Patterson should be top five.
Well, he dropped eight spots.
Are you a big Gary Patterson guy? Because I am too.
Yes.
Huge Gary Patterson guy.
He just got his first five-star recruit of all time with Zachary Evans. Just got it.
Yeah, and think about even the story that probably went into that we don't even know about, but I'm with you. I love Gary Patterson. I talked about him when Tennessee needed a coach.
You think he should be top five, though? I know, like, he's a good coach, and he's done less. You know, he's done more with less. You get a lot of skilled athletes in Texas, though. Top five.
Look into this man's career. It's one of the best out there.
Why should he be top five when we're talking about career achievements? He's played in, what, one New Year's Six Bowl or maybe two?
Yeah, but look where he's at.
He had TCU undefeated two different times before they were in the Big 12. He led them into the Big 12, and then he led them into competing in the Big 12, and then he turned TCU into a program that has consistent NFL players every single year. If you look at TCU last year, I believe they had like eight players in this past draft.
And here's my thing about Gary Patterson is I think I think he's right where he is. I think top 15, top 20 area, I think it is a good spot for him, and so I agree with it on this list.
I think he should be higher than – I'm just on the screen. There's two names that are on the screen with him right now. I think he should be higher than both of those.
Okay. Well, then those will be interesting to find out who those were. But my only thing for Gary Patterson is I really do believe in who he is as a coach and what he can do with his program. And I really just think he's been hindered, and I don't think he ever will be in that top five or maybe even the top 10 – just because he is at TCU. Imagine if he was at Texas.
Well, he was number eight last year. They had him ranked number eight last year.
They dropped him down?
Mm-hmm.
I got beat with the CBS football writing staff.
I really just can't, like, picture myself, like, what would have happened if he was at A&M or Texas? Hell, even Baylor. I think you would have seen much more prominence from Gary Patterson, which is really saying something because he got that team to national relevance multiple times throughout his career at TCU, and TCU really should never be a football school. It's just not. It's another one of those private schools that, you know, shouldn't be competing with those other schools in Texas. I think if he was there, we would really be talking about Gary Patterson in a different way over the last five.
Yeah, if you gave or if he had came more to talented players,
or if Tennessee had offered him the job in 2009, you know, maybe things
would have been nice.
If he became the Tennessee coach in 2009, I think we would have been to a national championship game by now.
On number 15 on the list, so we are entering the top 15. Number 15, Minnesota, PJ Fleck.
Overrated.
Row the boat. I think Gary Patterson should be higher than him. And number 14, Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. I think he's the most overrated.
I have to say who that is.
I think Kirk Ferentz is the most overrated coach in college football.
He just coasts to 9-3 seasons every year, beating the teams they should and losing to the teams they shouldn't. every once in a while will sneak up on you and go like 10-0 or 11-0 to start before they get beat by a good team.
I mean, it's Iowa. Like, you ain't really got to do much to make to please the people in Iowa. I think he gets that because of longevity. Like, that's why he gets it, because he's been there for so long. I don't think anybody thinks he's really that great of a coach. It has to be a lot because of longevity.
They got him at 14.
And P.J. Fleck, I mean, he's a guy that you can say did more of less, too. Like, he's bringing Minnesota. I know you guys are young, and y'all don't remember Minnesota being a actual kind of a football powerhouse, you might say, in the 80s. But, like, he did something there. And then where was he at before? Western Michigan? And he got them to New Year's Six Bowl. I don't necessarily like his gimmicky stuff, and I think that's why a lot of people don't like P.J. Fleck. But it's hard to say he's not a rising coach.
Yeah, I mean, just last year's Minnesota team was incredibly overrated. They needed a last possession touchdown to beat South Dakota State, a last possession touchdown to beat Georgia Southern. If you go into advanced metrics, wins above, like wins that were
advanced metrics.
Yeah, if you go into advanced metrics, there's one that is outcomes that are decided by the coach, positive or negative. So like games that you lost that you should have won, or games that you won that you should have lost. They were only plus one. They only won one extra game that they shouldn't have already won, and that was the Penn State game. And Joe Moorhead, for example, at Mississippi State, had three. I just think Minnesota was incredibly overrated.
No, I think they did. That's a tough conference. I mean, I think he's doing a pretty good job. It's Minnesota. Like, they haven't had any type of success in years.
Yeah, I mean, I still give him credit, just not as much credit is what I'm saying.
Sure.
The
Golden Gophers.
Talking kind of about Gary Patterson, but move on.
Well, we'll get through these next few and then take a break, and then we'll do the top 10. Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy, former Tennessee coach. Number 12, Jim Harbaugh. And number 11, Kyle Whittingham.
Fair.
Who did you say was 12, real quick?
Harbaugh.
Okay.
Harbaugh's too high there.
Jay Harbaugh.
I have so many thoughts on Jay Harbaugh.
It's like D'Arbaugh, but Jay Harbaugh.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back with the top 10 and talking with a little Jay Harbaugh right after this. This is The Blitz.
Back and not ashamed to cry. Ooh, baby.
All right, back here on the Blitz, 11:22 a.m.
I hope it's not 10:22.
No, me neither. We'd be in for a we've gone through all our topics already, except we still got the rest of the top 10 list. Certainly got that, and then there's certainly some we might not get to, like how Tom Brady is gonna have a 9-part documentary about him. Sure, why not? I guess, yeah. All right, great. Let's just.
I hope you were watching the Periscope there.
You get a 9-part documentary, and you get a 9-part documentary, and you.
Oh,
is get
that
a
what
nine,
you were doing?
What?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think that's what you were doing.
No, I wasn't referring to you. No, exactly what you were doing. It's a good. What's the word I'm looking for? It's a good habit for the people who watch Periscope.
Let's see. Top 10 Power 5 head coaches. Here we go.
Bring it.
Number 10, Ohio State, Ryan Day.
Still mad about Jim Harbaugh, but okay.
Why? Why are you mad?
I think he shouldn't be there.
You think he's too high? He's way actually high. Up. He's
What's
up.
What's he actually
three,
done?
He's up you. Three spots
What's
from last
actually
year.
What's he done? He just loses to the good teams and beats the bad ones.
He's yeah. up three spots from last year.
Okay, you're right. And I mean, you got to take talent to still be that for so many years consistent. But I mean, at some point, you just never get over a wall. But then again, maybe that's reasonable for where he's at. He can beat everyone else, but not, you know, three out of the top eight.
It's like Coyote and the Roadrunner. You know, he looks like he's almost got him,
sure.
And then cartoon.
Sure. And you know how it's always going to end.
Yeah. Dynamite.
So Ryan Day, number 10. Seems about right.
Okay.
Maybe even higher.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you think he should be a little higher?
Maybe.
I mean, he's also bringing
He hasn't had enough time, I guess, where you can really give him that. But, I mean,
he's throwing the recruiting
on a historical
rankings.
Level. He's really well liked.
Yeah.
You know.
Number
and took over after a bad situation too. That was messy, yeah. Very messy.
Well, it was messy, but it was it really a bad
was it
situation?
Bad? I guess no, but yeah, messy.
I mean, he walked into a
yeah. I mean, a championship
he
contending
walked into
team.
A full cupboard.
He just had definitely. To get. He just had to get rid of the other stuff.
It was spilling out of the cupboard. There was so much.
Number 9, James Franklin at Penn State.
it's okay. Fair. You got to give it to him.
Number eight, Dan Mullen at Florida.
Mm.
Also fair.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, what can you really say?
Yeah,
I mean, he's done what he's supposed to do whenever he
could have been Tennessee's coach.
Number seven, Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M.
Jimbo gets a little too much credit for his, you know, a lot of the winning seasons in FSU. And I do like in this article, and it's like the first time I feel like people are really giving him some blame of what happened. It goes on to say, you know, you have to give him credit for helping restore Florida State to its status as an ACC power, but he also needs to accept his share of the blame for where the program was when he left. I think Jimbo's a little too high at seven.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe him and Mullen should just be switched, but
I don't think Jimbo's better than 10. Ryan Day.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I would put Ryan Day and probably Mullen maybe ahead, but I think he – I don't really have any problems with him being the top 10 if you can find a way to
– Yeah, man, I definitely – I think he's definitely top 10.
Yeah,
I
would put no problem with that. But
old sure. G-pad ahead of him.
I just think – I'm with you. I think Ryan Day probably should be ahead of him and probably also Dan Mullen. Just Texas A&M, it still kind of feels like, is he going to be able to do it? Like, he's going to have a couple more years.
And Texas A&M is still that weird place where, like, they can be really good, but are they going to be as good as Alabama, Auburn, and LSU?
They feel like the Michigan of the SEC.
They do. That's a great way to put it. And it really is. No matter how good they can be, are they really going to defeat all three of the Giants in front of them in any given year? I don't think so.
Not only do they have the tough test of the SEC West and getting past, you know, the LSU, Alabama, but they also have – it's very tough for them to recruit.
Yeah.
Competing with Texas, LSU, Oklahoma. I mean, like, the list –
Yeah, they're in a hot spot, but that doesn't mean that that's not just increased competition.
Number six, Kirby Smart. Same as last year, did not move.
I knew we hadn't had his name come up yet.
I have a problem with
it. I'd take Gary Patterson over him.
Smart. Here's one that I have a problem with.
This one. Me too.
Number five.
Okay.
Brian Kelly.
Oh, my God.
At Notre Dame.
He was another name.
The only thing he's ever done there is get a student assistant murdered.
Well, hold on. Listen to this, Charlie.
All right.
This is what CBS says. Think about the storied history of Notre Dame football. You know the names Newt Rockne, Ara Parseghian, and Lou Holtz. Did you know how close Brian Kelly was to having more wins than the Irish than any of them? Apparently, he's very close. He's like 13 games away from being the winningest coach in Notre Dame history, unofficially, because 2012 and 2013 wins were vacated. But still.
Wait, so that just means that if he does get this 13, like, that means that he would have just skyrocketed past it.
Right.
So technically, he's already won the most games, but those just...
No. No, if you count the ones that were vacated, if you still count those, he's 13 away.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got you now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's way too high.
I would...
Like, I'm okay with him being in the top 10. Fine. You can put him in the top 10. Notre Dame's always relevant. But top 5...
I can't get the image out of my head of, what was it, 2 years ago? Did they play Clemson?
Yeah, and just got absolutely and they just boat got raced.
Thwacked! They got thumped!
Actually, that game was more competitive than it should have been. Or than the score indicated.
After these years, all I remember is the score. And really, I think that's how a lot of people probably feel. And that's just the – I mean, that's not even my deciding opinion. That's just the first image that comes to my head.
I agree. Brian Kelly's overrated as well.
Yeah.
All right, so we entered the top five. Brian Kelly at five. Number four, up 26 spots.
Oh, my God.
From last year.
Who
– I'm trying to
Oh,
think.
Is it Ed O?
Coach O.
Yeah. Coach O. Hey. I was trying to think, like, who? All right, which team jumped to the top?
Cool Tigers.
All right, I think that's fair. I think he's proved it. Now, we'll see. The interesting thing about him is we're going to really see this year, did he just get so lucky and everything came together for the most perfect storm in LSU history and SEC history, whatever you want to say, or is this a dynasty that he can continue? I think we're really going to find that out this year, and I cannot wait for that. Because part of me knows that he had great talent. Part of me is also buying into what Coach O is doing. But he's one of the most fascinating coaches I've seen. Can't wait to see what they do this year.
Well, he lost his two best assistant coaches and about 20 players to the draft. So.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
And you can imagine.
I mean, they
we'll imagine a fallback, but
I mean, they've recruited well, and like you said, losing Aranda and Joe Brady, it's going to be a big blow. So
we have breaking news.
No, breaking news.
We will need to go to the breaking news.
Breaking
desk.
News,
please.
Oh. What is it?
It is official. It looks like, according to 3-star tight end / defensive end Trinity Bell, has committed to Tennessee. 6'7", 250 pounds. This comes from Trey Wallace. This young man is a versatile beast out of Albertville, Alabama. Tennessee staff has big plans for Bell. So a 3-star tight end / defensive end, Trinity Bell, has committed to Tennessee. That is your 24th overall recruit. Initial thoughts, gut reaction to this right now.
Well, I don't know anything about this kid. But you, from what you told me just now, you said 3-star tight end, and we already have one of those.
Yeah, who that is?
Well, he's the number 37 athlete in the country. He can play defensive end as well. And again, 6'7", 260, that ain't too bad.
I'm looking at his...
he's from Albertville, Alabama.
I'm with Brandon.
I don't know. I mean, his offer list is Auburn, Florida, Indiana, Kentucky. Yeah,
I'm sorry, Charlie. To go back to something, you said that game was much more competitive than what Notre Dame lost. They only scored 3 points that game, right? If I'm not mistaken.
No, they scored more.
Against Clemson in the playoff?
Yeah.
No way. It was 30-3, I thought.
Well,
let's find out.
They scored way more than that. But Trinity Bell, huh? I mean, we'll take him. I mean, I'm not going to – I mean –
You we'll are. It was. It looks like December 29th. But Trinity Bell, so the biggest thing to me is that you are now at 24.
Yep.
24 on May 22nd.
Getting kind of full.
Getting close.
Getting really close.
And we obviously know that there still are some prominent names out there that have showed great interest in Tennessee. 4 stars, maybe even a big fish, 5 stars out there somewhere. But guys, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break right here, come back on the other side, and then we'll give you a little bit more information on Tennessee's newest recruit, the 24th overall, the tight end / defensive end from Alabama, the 6'7", 250-pounder, a beefy boy.
I feel like I should give the top three. We don't have to say anything, but you can almost guess them. Lincoln Riley, Dabo Swinney, Nick Saban. Not much to say. No surprise.
Sure.
You do something to me that I can't explain. Hold me closer.
Great song. 11:36 a.m. back here on the Blitz. Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with you as... Really just got some breaking news a couple minutes ago, and here was the news. A 3-star tight end / defensive end, but he is primarily listed as a tight end on 247. Trinity Bell has committed to the University of Tennessee. 6'7", 260 pounds, according to 247. Let's see, the number 20th overall player in the state of Alabama, the number 37th overall athlete in the country. Also had offers from Auburn, Florida, Nebraska, Kentucky, let's see, UCF, Indiana, Illinois. That's pretty much it. So certainly, I would say top-heavy offer list between Tennessee, Auburn, and Florida. You can also, I guess, throw in a Nebraska or Kentucky in there as well. But this is pretty much the thing that we were talking about just on the break right now. You're at 24 recruits. And Charlie, you had mentioned a couple days ago how certainly, coaches can find different ways or different avenues or routes or whatever to kind of get around that number of 25. But essentially for us as the fans looking at this situation, 25 is the key number for us to think about, as in your total recruits, right, for a class. And now you're only one away. So I do wonder how that plays out for Tennessee, what that could look like, because I got to imagine they're recruiting more than one guy, right?
I mean, you got to imagine also now that they're either going to trim some fat and a couple guys are going to kind of get asked to look elsewhere that have already committed, or you're going to have a couple guys given the option, hey, you can stay in this class, but we're going to need you to gray shirt or blue shirt or what you have it, you know?
Yeah, and I got to say, I got to eat some crow here, because I even remember a couple weeks ago we got into a debate on the show here, and I was very lackluster about any kind of thought that, you know, Tennessee would have to, like you're saying, eventually take a look at the commits list and maybe even have to trim some guys off at the end. I didn't think that we were close to that. I didn't think that was a reality, and maybe that was just me not fully understanding the concept of the 25 player class. But one way or another, I was wrong about that, because you are. It's May 22nd, and you are in that position now where that is a legitimate thought, and that those are legitimate conversations that are going on right now between the coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of it. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big fan of it. I said it last week, but what can you do? I mean, it's going to happen. But yeah, for sure. I don't know. There's still plenty of time right now for them to find another decent school if they do get kind of recruited over.
Yeah, so again, that is Trinity Bell. That is, I guess, your second tight end commit of the class. Your other one was Miles Campbell. That was the one that came down around 10 o'clock on, what was that, Wednesday night, I believe? Yes. So Miles Campbell came down Wednesday night. Today you get Trinity Bell. Those are your first two tight ends in the last 2 years, so certainly, I think that you can tell that Tennessee wants a true tight end. Maybe they switch up Trinity Bell in the end. I know he's listed as an athlete, and Trey Wallace was talking about him being a defensive lineman. But at least for this website, this does say tight end. So that does make me think that Jim Chaney and the powers that be do want a traditional tight end for the offense in some kind of fashion going forward. That's a little bit about go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, his lead recruiter, too, is Joe Osavet, who's the tight ends coach, so it would kind of make sense that they do plan on having him play tight end, I guess.
For sure.
But wasn't Niedermeyer also...
Niedermeyer was the secondary guy there, though, so...
And, I mean, maybe you put him as maybe like an outside linebacker slash defensive end type deal?
Yeah, you know, I guess you're right. You just get the top two positions he could potentially play and have them both go. I don't know.
But I don't know. We do need a tight end.
Yeah.
6'7", 260. Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too, is when you look at him, like we were talking about Miles Campbell, 6'3", 230 pounds, and we were saying that, hey, you know, this is a kid who certainly is a prospect with great potential, but one of the biggest things you got to talk about very first is the size. You would need the size to certainly increase to be on the level of an SEC tight end. Well, with Trinity Bell, man, size is what you get. I mean, straight up. 6'7", 260 pounds to me is certainly closer to the weight that you would want to be able to handle yourself on that line. This is a little bit about what the scouting report says. Trinity Bell is 6'7", 260-pound dual sport athlete. He recorded 28 tackles, 6 tackle for losses, 2 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles on defense during junior season, while also returning a fumble for a touchdown. Very nice. Very nice. So Tennessee beats out Florida, Auburn, Kentucky for Trinity Bell. Again, the 3-star tight end athlete prospect from Albertville, Alabama.
Good for Tennessee to go into Alabama and get a player.
Yeah, I mean.
Especially one that Auburn wanted.
Yeah, especially, I mean, you take the number one player in that whole state, and it got to give you a little bit more confidence heading back in there to recruit after that. So it's exciting. Don't really have much else on Trinity Bell, but we will have a good breakdown article coming up on the Fan Run Radio website coming up in the next few hours for when for any kind of other information that you do want to get. All right, guys, a couple minutes left of this segment, and I want to try to see where I want to take this.
Okay.
I want to figure out if I have time for the map, for the spelling bee. What do you think? Should we save that,
or
should
we get through some of it now? We can go early break now and just hit it when we get back.
Hey! Charlie's coming around on the producing side of things. I love the idea. Let's do that. Let's take a quick break right now, come back on their side, and then we got a good game to close out this show and send you into the weekend. We'd love for you guys to play at home or play in on the Twitter. But we got a spelling bee coming up. I think I can get these guys right here. I'm looking at in front of me. We got all that plus a little bit more on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Anytime she goes away.
Two. And a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta. And there's beer in Texarkana. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes.
If anybody could hear the studio during that last break, it was just a constant parade of the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States, done by three different voices at three different times, essentially. I'm telling you, try this on your own. Try to say the Pledge of Allegiance without anybody else around you, without thinking about it at all. Just do it. For most people, when you get them out of the assembly setting, they will mess up on the first time, or you'll get a little bit confused, or you'll stutter a little bit. It's a real thing. It's a real phenomenon.
I led the Pledge of Allegiance for like 4 years.
I know. There's something about it. Like, I mean, I'm sure every elementary and middle school kid knows it better than maybe a good
like
chunk
the,
of
like the high school dudes.
Adult
I had
population
to like stand up and
yeah,
and do it.
Let's get the spelling bee underway.
All right. Speaking of the United States of America, we have right here in our possession a tweet from Google, so it's legit. All right. This is the Google Trends map for the top searched how do you spell blank by state in 2020. So here's an example. California. So according to Google, in the year of 2020 so far, Californians have most typed the phrase, how do you spell the word? And for California, the word is because. So what I want to do is I'm going to rotate between the three of you. I'm going to give you one word that is the most commonly searched how to spell word from that particular state.
No cheating.
No cheating
Chance.
At all.
Phone down.
I was a spelling bee champion as a kid, kids. I'm not going to cheat.
I'm a really bad speller. This is going to go really bad.
Some of these are easy. Some of these are not. Okay? We'll start with easy. Brandon.
Oh, God.
Please spell North Dakota's word. Easter.
Easter. E-A-S-T-E-R. Easter.
Correct. Charlie.
Oh, no.
Please spell Iowa's word. Choir.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes.
Yeah, I would. Do you have the language of origin? That would be great.
My choir class was scheduled to start in 20 minutes.
C-H-O-I-R.
Ding, 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 ding. Let's go. Chance, please spell Louisiana's toughest word.
Don't you give me something crazy, Butler.
Quarantine. Oh, yeah.
Quarantine. Q-U-A-R-A-N-T-I-N-E.
Was that right?
You said R-A-N-T-I-N-E?
Q-U-A-R-A-N-T-I-N-E.
Ding, 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 ding,
it's
ding, ding, ding.
It's with an A-N?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Oh, well, yes, but not on the end.
All right, second round. Heats up a little bit here.
I would have already lost.
Brandon, please spell Mississippi's word.
Mississippi.
Well, it's probably something easy. They're not smart there.
Bidet.
Ooh.
What?
Why is Mississippi?
I told you. Round two is going to get a little more difficult.
B. E.
No.
Come on, Brandon.
B.
Even I knew that one.
A.
No.
B. I.
Yes.
D. E. T.
Yes. Oh, man. Charlie.
That was not fair.
Oh, man. I'm going to destroy Charlie on this one. Charlie, please spell Maryland's word. Parentheses.
Oh. Oh, Charlie. Oh.
I feel like an evil mastermind back here today.
How come you don't get to use that? Why are you not spelling any of these?
I'm the question asker guy.
Well, you're gonna get one.
Hey, here we go.
Now this that is I'm my out, time to shine, one. Brandon. P A R A N T H E S I S. No!
You missed on two places.
Oh, God.
P A R E N and then T H E S E S.
Jeez.
I know. Tough word. All right, Chancellor.
Okay.
Chancellor, please spell Wisconsin's word. Oh, no. Illustrator.
No. I.
Uh-huh.
L. L. U. S. But I haven't sound this out in my head. T R A T O R.
Hey! Ding, 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 ding.
All right, Butler, it's your turn.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Rick Butler.
My phone is off.
Spell West Virginia's word. Chihuahua.
You're serious.
That's
yes.
A tough one. I always have to spell check Chihuahua.
C.
How often are you spelling Chihuahua?
I. No. C-H. C-H-A-U. C-H-A-U. C-H-A. I don't even know. God, that one was hard.
You started out right.
Is it C-H-I?
C-H-I.
No. It's not Chi-Chi.
Is it C-H-I-H-U-A-H-U-A?
Say that again.
C-H-I-H-U-A-H-U-A.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Well done.
All right, Charlie. I got
well
one
done.
For you.
All right. Bring it
spell
on.
Spell Kentucky's word.
Ooh.
Gray.
Ooh.
Ooh. This is a good one.
Yeah, this is
it
tricky.
Might be two different ways.
You what? Have a 50-50 chance
what
right now.
What kind of gray are we talking
nope,
about?
You got a 50-50 chance.
Gray.
Are there multiple different.
Gray.
The British spelling or the American spelling?
I don't know which one's which.
I don't know. I don't know which
chance.
One's right.
50-50 chance.
G R E Y. No.
Sorry, Charlie. It was G R A Y.
Brandon.
Can't you spell it either way?
All right.
Sure. I don't
Brandon,
know.
Please spell Montana's word.
All right, Montana.
Traumatized.
T R.
Ah.
A U. M A T I Z E D. Traumatized.
Ding, 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 ding. Well done. That was impressive. That was impressive. Brandon, I got one more for you, real quick.
One more word?
Yes.
I just went.
Well, I'm doing it again, okay?
Fine.
Brandon, I want you to spell my word.
Your word?
Parallel.
P-A-R-A-L-L-E-L. Parallel.
Hey!
Redemption!
Redemption! Redemption!
Apparently I misspelled parallel yesterday whenever I put up the podcast, Chance.
Oh, okay. That's where that came from. I was like, that's an easy word.
It is.
I just added an extra L on the end. I got carried away.
Which, I mean, if you think about it, should make sense, right? You throw in the two L's at the end, too. The letters are parallel.
Yeah.
There are sometimes I spell so bad that my autocorrect can't even fix it.
All right, since I know we're done spelling now, does anybody find how funny that Virginia's word is Virginia?
Yes.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, and these are all legitimate, too, right? This is from Google. The funniest one to me, hands down, was Kansas. People searched in Kansas more than anything else. How do you spell the word cook? C-O-O-K, cook. What a disaster for Kansas. Hey, we'll be back same time. Actually, Labor Day coming up on Monday. So we won't see you there, but we'll still have a great show on the airwaves for you then. We'll see you back next week, everybody. Have a wonderful week. Have a safe week. And hey,
happy Memorial Day, everyone.
Happy Memorial Day. Don't go anywhere. Talk Sports coming up next. So for Charlie Collier, for Chance Collins, for Brandon Norick, I'm Rick Butler. You've been listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. Have a great weekend. Everywhere you go.